Session number 5868, Horton Monday, part 31.
I'll try now to describe what actually happened with Red Cross parcels. Now, everyone had the same. It didn't matter if you was a millionaire or a pauper or a poor labourer's son or anything. Everyone had exactly the same parcel. Now, you had six grocery parcels and four bread parcels. But the bread parcels, unfortunately, the first lot we had, the bread had gone mouldy, but they altered that and put in the place some very small, like small buns. And what you had to do, you just dip them in the water, put them on a stove and warmed them up, and they turned into a into a large white bread. That were beautiful. Well, now, as I say, everyone had exactly the same, and it didn't matter who it was. But this is what happened from the British end. If you had friends, then of course your friends would send it, but they didn't send it themselves. They had to finance it through the Red Cross, so that in case I had one on one occasion anyway, from me mates in the body shop of Wolverton Works, it said on the packet parcel, from workmates of the body shop Wolverton Works. Well, that parcel was exactly the same as if there had been no name on it whatever. And everyone had the same. Well, now, after a little while, I had a letter come from Lady Leon. Now, Lady Leon of Bletchley Park, at that time, they were bankers, millionaires. And I had a letter from her saying that her gardener's son was a prisoner of war, had I met him. And in future, she said, I shall be your godmother for parcels. Well, now, I had four out of the six parcels that I received was marked from Lady Leon. And the other two, of course, was ordinary, with no name on them, put it that way. But they was no different to anyone else. But she financed those through the Red Cross. Now, we had clothing parcels just the same. They was from your regiment. But every 3 months, every quarter, you was allowed what they call a private parcel. And there were, it stipulated there, but there mustn't be any food in it. And they could come from your mother, your father, or your relative. And they was addition to the ordinary routine. But I could send you perhaps, well, I don't know what to say hardly, but other, say a brush and comb, hair comb, brush or something. But anything other than the routine. But now I'm going to wander off now to something different. It might upset some people. I don't know whether it will, and I can't say I worry a lot whether it will or not. Now, there's a difference. British. I told you what we had. All those parcels, food, clothing, everything. That's the British. Now, in the lager, the next lot I put was French, the Frenchman. Now, they had a parcel now and again. Not a lot, now and again. One or two perhaps a month, might be three. But they, now the others, the Romanians, I don't think they had one at all, I can't remember. They may have had one or two, Italian, French. French had perhaps one or two, as I say. Now, all the crater Russians never had a single parcel while I was there. And all the parcels that they received came privately. They came, of course, through the Red Cross. Everything had to come through the Red Cross. But none of their parcels was like ours, organized. Now, that's the difference. Well, now, going back to the olden days, I'm going to wander, I don't care what the hell they say. I'm going to tell you the truth. When I was a lad, and when we was young, we was patriotic. The whole of the use of the nation rushed to join the colours because they believed in us. We rode the waves, practically ruled the world, you could say that. The sun never set on the British Empire. Britannia ruled the waves. Now then, was it worth it? There's your difference. We had everything. They had nothing. What would happen today? I'll leave you to judge that. What would happen today? Now all those goody-goody people, they've given all their colonies away. They was all coined. They give them away. We was ever so kind. They give the lot away. Now you take today. What will happen? If the same conditions prevail, prisoners of war together, do you think the Russian prisoners wouldn't have had a thing? Or do you think we should have still had the lot? No. No, I bet we'd be like them, or perhaps worse than they would be. That's just the difference in the olden days that I remember it. Well, now I've had a real good moan. And I know I'm right. But never mind that. Now I'll start and tell you some of the experiences. I told you, we had all those parcels. We had lovely clothing parcels. Shoes, real leather army shoes, which they couldn't buy there. Real leather army shoes, army uniform, a beautiful blue uniform, trousers, tunic, very much like the full dress uniform, a peak cap. We looked real smart and was well fed. Now I'll tell you what a little tale that happened. I told you about that old boy at the hotel, that he kicked me off the path, made me salute him, and I got in trouble over him. Well, now, here's the difference. Well, I was walking down the street one day, some time after, when I was well-clothed, well-fed. I was walking down the street, and I saw him coming along the pavement. So I thought, oh. Well, just before I got to him, I stepped off into the road. I gave him one of our best military salutes, as smart as I could. Oh, he said, no, 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 he said. I thought, hello. He called me to him. Don't salute me. I began to understand the lingo then. Don't salute me, he said. That's all right, that's all right. Hello. He said, that's all right. He said, oh, he said, I believe, he said, you have parcels. I said, yeah, we do. Oh, he said, because he knew we did. I said, yeah. He said, well, he said, do you have cocoa in your parcels? I said, oh, yes. He knew. I said, oh, yes. Oh, he said, my wife, he said, is very, very ill. He said, now, would you let me have just a little of your cocoa? It'll do her a world of good. Oh, no, I said, no. I said, because we're very weak, you know. I said, we want what we have in our parcels. I thought, bugger you. Now, that's how the tide turned. I told you in earlier tapes that we went from a tramp to a king. Now, you know what I mean by that. And by God, we was tramps, just scrounging, not much more than animals. And so the tide had turned. And from then, we gradually moved up and worked in the village. We was noticed and even looked up to, never mind anything else. In our little bunch of nine, three of them were Scotchmen. Now there was one of them, I think his name was Souster, some name like that. I forget the names after all these years. Now, he was in the kilted regiment. He got his kilt. Now, here's something that should be admired by his regiment. He got his kilt, and when he was captured, they took his kilt off, gave him some trousers, naturally, prisoner of war, so as he looked something decent. And they took his kilt away, he had it, they gave it him back, and all the time we was there, and all through the different hardships, he would never get rid of that kilt. They offered him things, they even offered him bread and food, but no, he'd never get rid of that. So I think that's very something to be very proud of for that regiment. What it was, I don't know, but it was one of the kilty regiments, and old blimey, didn't he stick to that, and he hung on to it. And at the end, when we came home, he put it in his old bag, and away he come home, and he wouldn't even unfold it to show us. No more than anything else, he wouldn't get rid of it. We soon began to miss things out of our parcels, and we had a faint idea that old Jerry, the postman, was pinching the stuff, but we couldn't prove it. Well, after a little while later, there was one of our chaps working round the back of the house where his bit of stuff lived, and there he found a load of tins, which was taken from our parcels. Well, we didn't know how we could get at him. We knew he was terrified of the Western Front, but how we could get at him, we couldn't think. But after a little while, we decided that I was to see if I could find a representative from the Red Cross from Switzerland. Well, make out I did. So I had a freelance in the village almost then. I was working with a village carpenter. Well, on this particular day, I told old Roddy, him and I worked it together. I told Roddy, I shan't be home till late. Well, this carpenter, when we finished work at night, he said, all right, pack up. I said, well, I'll stop behind, I'll finish this little job. I said, you go home, I won't be long. Well, he went, and I stayed about an hour and a half. Well, when I got back to the lager, because old Jerry, they was all there bar me. So when I got back, Jerry sent for me. He said, where was you? I said, I was ever so busy. I said, I stopped and finished the job that I was doing. Well, of course I did. He could have told him that, but no. Old Jerry, they're like a bloody cat. They'll find out, we knew that. So he sent for Roddy the next day. He says, where was Dermundi yesterday? You know, they always used to call me Dermundi. He said, where was he yesterday? Roddy said, I hadn't ought to tell you. But he said he ran into one of the representatives from Bern, Switzerland, Red Cross. He said, and he'd been to the main camps to see how things was going with the Red Cross parcels. He'd been to Eelsburg, and then he decided he'd have a look round at the different commandos, they call them commandos, and he ran into Mundy and asked him if things was missing. He said yes. He said, well, he said, put it on your card, what's missing, when you return it. Well, you had a card in each parcel. And he said, tell him to put it on that. He said, and if it's don't stop, he said, and it's not missing at Healdsburg or at the railway station, he said, well, it may be at your camp where you are, the lager. He said, and if that is so, he said, we'll have that man taken away. He'd be sent back to the Western Front. Well, do you know, blimey, old Roddy told him this tale. And do you know, the next week or two later, and he told him, he said, they're nothing whatever to do with the postman. He said, those parcels, mailbag, must be collected by you, not him. He said, and he must let you know when they're at the station and you'll fetch them. Well, do you know, later, the next lot come, old Jerry sent for me. He said, oh, he said, there's a mailbag at the station. He said, you go and collect it. So me and old Roddy had a truck out the yard, and away we went and collected our parcels. Well, do you know, ever after that, we had no trouble at all. We used to collect them, dish them out among ourselves, or to whoever they were for, but old Jerry never saw one, never touched it. But it fritted the life out of him. We knew it would, because he was frightened to death to go back to the front. I bet his girlfriend missed her dinner with boiled spuds and no meat, or no bacon, tin bacon, none of that, no tin meat, or even a wash in a nice piece of real soap. I'll bet she felt the difference, but I can tell you this, they never had a single thing more out of our parcels that finished them.
It's like when I read out your Red Cross parcels, what you got in the box, I didn't read them out too clear, you see? So I think I'd better read them again for anyone who couldn't hear it. Okay?
Yeah.
Right, the first one is cocoa, milk, dripping, fish, dates, beef, cheese, bacon and potato, soup square and soap. And the second one is soup, cheese, meat, vegetable, pudding, margarine, fish, biscuits, Quaker oats, soup and smokes.
When my great nephew Ashley was round here tonight, I got him to set up the tape for me again, but last night he read out the contents of a grocery parcel. Well, now he was a long way away from the mic and it didn't come out very clear. So I got him to do it again for me tonight. Well, now, he read the contents, but I believe last night I said we had 6 grocery parcels and 2 bread parcels. I should have said 6 grocery and 2 and 4, not 2 bread parcels. Well, now, I don't know if I told you on the other tape the routine of parcels when they arrive in Germany. Well, what actually happens, they're sent through neutral countries such as Switzerland, Bern, Switzerland, also Copenhagen, Denmark, and they're sent to the main camps such as Dolmen for us in Westphalia, and so on to the main camp in East Prussia, which was Healdsburg. That's where ours went to. Well, when they arrive there, every parcel is opened and put on tables. One side of the tables are the Germans, the other side are the British, and so it's checked. They open different things in the parcel, which they can open, such as biscuits or packets of rice, anything like that, they will open, see if there's any message inside. even to the extent of cutting a tablet of soap in half, see if there's a message in that. And then they're, of course, sealed again, and as I say, sent out to the commandos. Well, now, I believe Ashley told you, that there were smokes inside the parcel. Well, that was so. Now, your issue for the month, that's your sixth grocery, your issue for the month was 50 cigarettes in four of the parcels, which amounted to 200 cigarettes for the month. Well, now, I always used to have Woodbines, naturally. Well, now, I'll just relate a funny little tale. Before we had our parcels, we was in a bad way, as I've told you before. Just before the parcels came, we was all locked in the cellars as usual on Sunday. Well, on this particular Sunday, one of them said, to pass the time away, he said, let's have a vote as to what we would think we'd like, first of all, if we could get it from England, such as a tin of meat, tin of treacle, that was all mentioned, tin of treacle, tin of meat, packet of biscuits, a loaf of bread, tin of fish, all sorts of things was mentioned, and smokes, would we want a fag or tobacco, or a letter from home, all those things was mentioned. And finally, when it came to a vote, the decision was a cigarette, if we could only get a packet of fags. And that was the final vote of the monks, all of us together. Well, as old Yorkie said at the time, well, you know what a card he was, or I could tell you about him eventually. Oh, hell, he said, give me a fag, he said, and I'll die happy. Well, now, that was the result of that vote. Now, I think I better try and describe that things then began to be a little bit awkward, because we was all packed in those cellars, I told you, all different nationality of prisoners in this large cellar. Well, now, our parcels, we was the only ones that had them, as I told you. Well, now, when we was at work, all out at work, you had to run the risk of one of the other prisoners, some of the others, Russians, Italians, all sorts, you know, Romanians, I didn't like them buggers, the Romanians, all those. Well, if there was none of us there, you know what would have happened, or did at times, but very, very seldom. Well, what we used to do, when we all came back from work, we shot down there and we organised so that one of us was always in that cellar to see that nothing was stolen. Well, it carried on for some time, and eventually I told you that I became interpreter for our lot, and old Rodney from London, Cockney kid, I told you his parents kept a pub there, nice chap. Well, him and I, as I told you, used to be interpreters for our little bundle, and I'll go and see the postman, Jerry, and have a word, see what can be done. So I went and saw him, and of course we were getting on top of him then, as I told you. We caught him out and was getting on top of him a bit. And I told him how we was fixed, that it wasn't right that we should have to go and leave our food in the cellar, because we organised it naturally. As the parcels came, you organised it so as you had something each day. Well, organise your rations, put it that way. And, all right, he said, what I'll do for you, I'll shift you English upstairs. Well, now, that building was exactly the same as the present-day flats are in England, what they're building nowadays. Well, then we went up, took us up, one large room there was, and a large kitchen attached to it. Now, this long, large room, he said, there you are, he said, you English can have that, all right? Well, what he did, down below, of course, I told you, we used to sleep on netting, you know, framed up netting, which was quite comfortable with a blanket. Well, when we got up there, he had a long board fitted right along from one end of the room to the other, about 7 foot, 6 foot six, or 7 foot from the wall, right along. The board stood about a foot or 18 inches high. Well, now he filled all that in. All the way along, he filled it in all thick and deep with straw. So, it might be a laugh, you think, like bedding pigs down, but it don't matter. It was as comfortable as could be. We all laid along there in this long room, all along on this straw, and it was beautiful, and we settled down there, and that's how we carried on from that. Why? When I was right down and out and scrounging round and working in the village, I don't know if I told you, but I'll tell you again anyway. I had to go and chop some logs up for an old couple, an old German couple. And I had to go there, the postman sent me there to chop some logs up, firewood logs for them. Now this old couple, the old lady, she called me in the house, took me in, and she gave me a good old mug of coffee. Well, what they call coffee, a good old hot mug of coffee and a chunk of bread. Well, now, I never forgot that. In fact, I treated her well afterwards, many months later. But here's a little instance that happened then. They brought a load of coal into the station for the village. Now that coal was not like ordinary coal, but it had been processed into little blocks, like bricks. Well, now the postman sent old Roddy and me down, and some bloke come with his wagon and drove us down. Well, I had a hell of a shock when I got down in the yard at the station. There were some women, a couple of women unloading a coal truck. I thought, blimey, that was something never heard of in England, a woman going to work. Never mind about unloading coal, that was in those days I'm talking about. These two women were unloading coal. Anyhow, they loaded their van up, the wagon. The old Jerry drove us back into the village. And you had to give so many pieces of this coal. It was all the same size. I forget the number. Might have been 10 or a dozen each house. But any road, I got to this old couple, and she come out with her bag, and I was excited to get a bit of fire in other than wood. And she come out with her bag. I said to old Roddy, I says, you keep him nattering if you can. I'll load a bag. Well, this old gal, I filled her bag right up to the top. I don't know whether she had a dozen or three or four dozen. Anyway, I filled her bag right up. She kept saying, no, I'll tell you in English. No, don't, she said, don't. She says, I'm frightened. I said, go on, go on. I filled her old bag up and away she went and put it in. I bet she were pleased, but that was just something in return for what she'd done for me. I never forgot it. And in fact, I'll tell you a tale about them later on.